Amateur Radio Newsline Report 1905, with a release date of February 14th, 2014, to follow in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. The following is a QST. Hams stand ready in Slovenia as severe weather turns electric power off for many citizens. Radio Amateurs of Canada say it will protect hams from proposed cell phone tower law. A United Kingdom monitoring station traces 40-meter interference to France. An on-the-air party to introduce high-frequency digital audio to the world. The commissioning of the new ham video system on the ISS is postponed to March. And the twinkling of light of Morse code alive once more from the UK. Find out the details on Amateur Radio Newsline, report number 1905. Coming your way right now.
From around the world, this is Newsline, Amateur Radio's independent on-the-air news and bulletin service. Now, here is this week's report.
The cold weather across Europe has disrupted the electricity supply in Slovenia, and radio amateurs have been assisting with operations on a local level. Amateur Radio Newsline's Heather Emby, KB3TZD, has the details.
Since January 31st, Slovenia has been affected by extreme cold weather such as blizzards, heavy snow, and sleet. This has caused the collapse of power lines under the weight of ice and falling trees, with electricity disruptions now affecting 250,000 people at the height of the outage. The restoration of electric main supply was being made difficult by continuing bad weather. This has prompted Slovenia to request assistance from the European Union in the form of mobile high-power electric power generators. While there has been no widespread national request for communications assistance, Slovenian radio amateurs are preparing to respond if required. In the meantime, a number of radio amateurs have been assisting in communications operations on a local community level. This due to problems with the mobile phone service and other radio networks falling victim to severe weather outbreak. The European Union Civil Protection Mechanism has asked for assistance from nearby European states, with Germany, the Czech Republic, and Austria providing assistance. Because of uncertainty of both weather conditions and overall communications, the Austrian teams responding to Slovenia will be carrying their own gear so as to communicate back to their home bases using Pactor and Winlink. For the Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Heather Emby, KV3TZD, reporting.
OE1VGC is the Emergency Communications Coordinator for Austria. He's asking all European radio amateurs to keep clear until further notice frequencies which are being used to support the Pactor and Winlink operations on 3.601, 3.608, and 3.617 MHz, as well as 3.644 MHz. Some possible new worries for our friends to the north regarding towers and antennas. This with the February 5th announcement by Industry Canada's minister of a new rulemaking procedure called Harper Government Making Changes to Cell Tower Placement Rules. And while not directly mentioned in the proposal, Canadian ham radio leaders appear to fear that changes could adversely affect that nation's amateur radio community. According to a news release from Radio Amateurs of Canada, it does not believe this policy change announcement was generated by problems caused by the amateur radio community. It also says that the current 50-foot height limit has worked well for several years. Radio Amateurs of Canada goes on to say that amateur radio antenna structures are more like those used to receive off-the-air television or to listen to shortwave broadcast, and as such, they're different in many ways from cell phone towers. It adds that it plans to convey to Industry Canada in the strongest of terms that no changes should be made that would negatively affect amateur radio antenna installations. A United Kingdom monitoring station has gotten a fix on a possible French military station that has been causing interference on 7.166 MHz in the 40-meter band. The IARU Monitoring System newsletter reports a French station has been making long CW transmissions of five-letter groups on 7.166. United Kingdom telecommunications regulator Ofcom used its direction-finding facility at Baldock to get a fix on the station, which is now believed to be located in France's Loire Valley. As of February 18th, two new bands have been made available to ham radio operators in Poland. The first is 472 to 479 kilohertz, with up to 1 watt of effective radiated power. The other spectrum is 122.25 to 123 gigahertz. Both are allocated to the Polish amateur service on a secondary, non-interfering basis to other services using the same spectrum. South African telecommunications regulator ICASA has announced that the closing date for the nation's radio amateurs to file their license renewal will be February 28th. This applies to all radio amateur licenses, including repeaters and beacons. Failing to do so will result in cancellation of the license. According to the South African Radio League, this is also an opportunity to renew an amateur license for 5 years at a discounted rate. The European Radio Amateurs Organization has announced a new high-frequency on-the-air gathering that it's calling Experiencing Digital Voice. Its purpose is to help introduce this new mode to the widest possible ham radio audience while having fun and meeting other hams on the air the world over. The event is slated March 1st and 2nd from 00 to 2400 hours UTC each day. The mode used will be FreeDV, which implements both Codec 2 and the FDMDV modem, neither of which is patent protected or restricted. This is not a contest, but rather just a radio meeting, but it does have a few simple recommendations to follow. Recommended frequencies for this fun technology gathering and all other needed information is on the web at www.eurao.org. It's the second item on the page. If you have ever wanted to vicariously travel into space, now is your chance. NASA is inviting people around the world, including ham radio operators, to submit their names to be etched on a microchip aboard a spacecraft headed to the asteroid Bennu in 2016. The messages to Bennu microchip will travel to the asteroid aboard the Origins Spectral Interpretation Resource Identification Security Regolith Explorer spacecraft. The robotic mission will spend more than 2 years at the asteroid, which has a width of only about 1,760 feet. The spacecraft will collect a sample of Bennu's surface and then return it to Earth. The deadline to submit your name online is September 30, 2014. Participants who submit their names to the Messages to Bennu campaign will be able to print a certificate of appreciation to document their involvement. To submit your name for inclusion on this mission, please take your web browser to planetary.org/Bennu, B-E-N-N-U. While there are no instructions as to how to include your call sign, we found it simple to just put it after your last name. In DX Upfront, word that a joint Peruvian expedition composed of members of the Radio Club Peruana and the Radio Club Grupo DX Bahía Blanca of Argentina will be on the air from Isla San Lorenzo from February 20th to the 24th. The island is located in the Pacific, with the group signing the special call OC0I. The operators plan to have two stations active simultaneously 24 hours a day on 80 through 10 meters, including the work bands. Modes mentioned include CW, single sideband, and PSK31. QSL direct to LU7DSY or via the Bureau to LU3DXG. Electronic QSLs go via EQSL. And word from OH2AXE that he is now a permanent resident on Crete and on the air signing portable SV9. He hopes to obtain an SV0 call sign eventually. For the moment, please QSL direct only or electronically using EQSL. We'll have more DX news for you later in this week's broadcast. Time for you to identify your station. We are the Amateur Radio Newsline, heard on bulletin stations around the world, including the VU3 MGH repeater, serving Madurai in the south of India. Don't look for the United States Senate to follow the House of Representatives' lead to overhaul the Communications Act anytime soon. As we hear from Amateur Radio Newsline's Bill Pasternak, WA6ITF.
According to United States Senator Mark Pryor of Tennessee, the Senate won't be following the House's lead this year to overhaul the sweeping law regulating television, radio, and all other telecommunications services. The Communications Act, first written in 1934, created the Federal Communications Commission and outlined rules governing communications as it stood at the time. Over the years, it has been amended on many occasions to try and keep up with emerging technologies. The Act was last updated in 1996 when the Internet was still in its infancy. The House Energy and Commerce Committee has already begun to look into ways to bring the Communications Act into line with the needs of the 21st century. But Pryor, who is chairman of the Senate Commerce Subcommittee on Communications, said the overall Senate committee probably will not follow suit. Critics of the current Communications Act have said that it creates what they call silos for different types of communications. They say that has posed a problem for new technologies such as voice over internet protocol phone calls that are transmitted over broadband and other internet lines. The House of Representatives' effort to rewrite the law is expected to take multiple years and has only just gotten started. This past January, an Energy and Commerce Committee subcommittee held the first hearing on the issue with five former FCC chairmen in attendance. For the Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Bill Pasternak, WA6ITF, in the newsroom in Los Angeles.
So when might the Senate take on looking at such a Communications Act overhaul? Most political guessers think that it will be sometime after the midterm elections at the earliest. The FCC has denied a petition for reconsideration and has ordered Daniel K. Roberts of San Francisco, California, to pay a $10,000 fine for operating an unlicensed radio station. Amateur Radio Newsline's Norm Seeley, KI7UP, reports.
According to the FCC, the case concerns Daniel Roberts' alleged operation of a station it identifies as Pirate Cat Radio. This, claims the agency, was an unlicensed radio broadcast station operating on 87.9 megahertz in San Francisco, California. As detailed in the forfeiture order, Daniel Roberts was identified as the executive of the Pirate Cat Cafe and Studio. The FCC asserts that in 2008, Roberts began operating Pirate Cat Radio from a studio at the same location. At the time, the notice of apparent liability of forfeiture was issued. The Pirate Cat Radio website prominently features Roberts while describing itself as an unlicensed, low-powered community radio station. On October 23, 2009, Roberts filed a response to the notice. In it, he acknowledged his previous involvement in extra-legal broadcasting years ago, but denied that transmissions had ever emanated from the Pirate Cat Radio Cafe and Studio. Roberts also denied operating or controlling any unlicensed radio station on 87.9 megahertz or any transmission of energy on that frequency. Roberts claimed that the Pirate Cat Cafe and Studio Internet streaming program was likely downloaded and broadcast by third parties. But in its February 7th finding, denying the FCC said that based on the overall record in the case, it finds that the agency correctly determined that Roberts was engaged in the management and operation of Pirate Cat Radio. This violation of Section 301 of the Act and that proof of operation was supported by a preponderance of evidence. It then affirmed the forfeiture order and gave him the usual time to pay or file a further appeal. For Amateur Radio Newsline, Norm Seeley, KI7UP, in Scottsdale, Arizona.
If Roberts fails to pay the fine, the FCC says the matter could be turned over to the Department of Justice for possible further action. New Zealand's Radio Spectrum Management says that streaming air traffic communications over the Internet may compromise air safety. It's already ordered one such operation to cease, as we hear from Amateur Radio Newsline's Jim Meacham, ZL2BHF.
A commercial pilot recently began streaming local airport radio communications traffic over the internet without either the consent of the parties involved or of the Civil Aviation Authority. Telecommunications regulator Radio Spectrum Management soon received a complaint from the airport. It was concerned of a likely compromise of the safety and integrity of its operation resulting from unwanted publication of its communications. In consultation with the Civil Aviation Authority, which was also concerned that the internet streaming breached International Civil Aviation Organization principles, and with the assistance of airport staff, Radio Spectrum Management was able to quickly locate the offender and visited the property. The pilot cooperated with an inspection and was then formally warned. It should be noted that Article 17 and 18 of the International Telecommunications Union Radio Regulations apply to secrecy of communications by both licensees and the general public. New Zealand gives recognition to those requirements in the nation's Radio Communications Act 1989. Those laws make it an offence for anyone to disclose the contents or to reproduce or to make use of radio-based communications not intended for that person. The Act also provides for a penalty of up to $30,000 in New Zealand dollars for violating this law. For the Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Jim Meacham, ZL2BHF in Nelson, New Zealand.
As we go to air, there is no word as to what, if any, additional penalties the unnamed pilot may face for violating New Zealand laws against streaming airport audio over the internet. Hams looking for amateur radio-related apps for their smartphones or tablets now have a place to go to learn what's available. The online SWLing post has printed a rundown of some of the amateur radio apps that are currently available. Apps for shortwave listeners are there as well. To get there, simply go to tinyurl.com/ham-radio-apps. The Central States VHF Society is soliciting papers and presentations for the 48th Annual Conference slated for July 25th to the 27th in Austin, Texas. Papers and presentations pertaining to all aspects of amateur or VHF and other frequencies other than FM and repeaters are welcome. The due date for all entries is April 23rd, with all submission going via email to Tom Apple or Dick Hansen to tom@k5tra.net or dick@dkhansen.com. This year's featured dinner speaker will be Jimmy Trabig, W6JKV. And possibly as an added incentive, planners say that there will be Best Presentation and Best Technical Paper Awards presented at this year's convention banquet. More is on the web at csvhfs.org. The ARRL has announced that the 2014 Field Day packets are now available online at arrl.org/field-day. This year's Field Day takes place on June 28th and 29th. An episode of the TV program Nashville, on which Amateur Radio Newsline's Jim Dameron, NATMW, will appear, is now slated for broadcast on Wednesday evening, February 26th, on the ABC television network. As previously reported, Jim plays the part of a minister conducting the graveside service of one of the show's characters. He says that the scene was shot in the historic Mount Olivet Cemetery in Nashville. The episode is number 215 and carries the title of They Don't Make 'Em Like My Daddy Anymore. This is Ham Radio News for today's Radio Amateur. We are the Amateur Radio Newsline with links to the world from our only official website at www.arnewsline.org and being relayed by the volunteer services of the following Radio Amateur. One of the real challenges to low Earth orbit satellite deployment is the growing amount of space junk circling the globe. Now, Japan thinks it's found a way to get rid of some of that debris, as we hear from Skeeter Nash, N5ASH.
The Japan Aerospace Exploration Agency has teamed up with a company that manufactures fishing equipment to create an orbital space net that will sweep the skies above our planet for man-made debris. The first test of the equipment is scheduled for later this month when a satellite developed by researchers at Kagawa University is launched. Once on orbit, the bird will deploy a 1,000 feet long wire net with the ability to generate a magnetic field. Theoretically, this should attract some of the debris that is circulating beyond our atmosphere. The majority of the debris is in a band between 400 to 700 miles above the surface of the planet, consisting of parts of obsolete satellites and rockets. Experts estimate that 100 million bits of this man-made junk is in orbit around the Earth. Of that total, some 22,000 pieces are believed to measure 10 centimeters or larger, and are therefore considered dangerous if one collides with a functioning satellite or the International Space Station. I'm Skeeter Nash, N5ASH.
While it may sound a bit like science fiction, the same was said about man's exploration of the moon and beyond less than five decades ago. The European Space Agency has postponed the commissioning of the new ham video system until at least March 8th. According to Gaston Bertals, ON4WF, this is a multi-step process, with the possible dates being March 8th for Step 1, March 9th for Step 2, and March 16th for Step 3. These dates are all on weekends. While the agenda is still to be finalized, Bertels notes that there will be a week of blank transmissions as a part of the commissioning process. Once in operation, the ham video system will expand the experience of those participating in the ham radio in space classroom contacts. The Von Karman Institute of Belgium is developing a constellation of 50 cube satellites called QB50 that will be launched into a 220-mile altitude low Earth orbit for scientific research. Now comes word that AMSAT UK, AMSAT Francophone, and AMSAT NL are preparing amateur radio payloads to fly on two precursor spacecraft to launch in advance of the main satellites. These early birds are expected to be carried to space in April or May of this year and placed into a 370-mile sun-synchronous orbit. One bird will carry a FunCube-based UHF to VHF linear transponder, and the other will be a UHF to VHF FM transponder with AX25 telemetry. Exact operating frequencies and other technical details of these two tiny satellites has not been announced. The precise launch date of the 50 Microsat QB50 constellation has yet to be confirmed, but the launch window is defined as being between December 2015 and November 2016. Astronaut Koichi Wakata, KC5ZTA, has successfully deployed the first of the 33 CubeSats that were launched to the International Space Station in the Cygnus freighter on January 9th. The Tuesday, February 11th deployment consisted of the first two of the Flock 1 constellation of 28 Dove CubeSats made by Planet Labs. In addition to the 28 Planet Labs microbirds, there are also four amateur radio CubeSats waiting to be placed on orbit. These are Litwanka Sat 1, Lit Sat 1, ADU Sat 2, and UAP Sat 1, as well as a 915 MHz CubeSat, SkyCube. All are planned to be deployed in the coming weeks. On the air, keep an ear open for Special Event Station 8N2HHH. The station will be active on all bands and modes between March 1st and June 16th. This is in celebration of Japan's Hamanaki Flower Expo on the island of Honshu. If you make contact, please QSL as directed on the air. To celebrate the birthday of community service organization Rotary International and highlight its involvement in eradicating the disease polio, members of the organization will be on the air February 22nd and 23rd with a number of special event stations. All participating Rotarians on amateur radio throughout the world will call CQ Polio to commemorate the founding of Rotary International in 1905 and educate the public about Rotary's End Polio Now campaign. Thanks to the vaccine developed by the late researcher Dr. Jonas Salk, polio is no longer a problem in many nations. However, it still remains a major threat to public health in a number of places around the world. NDX UA4WHX is now active / CE0Z from Robinson Crusoe Island. As always, The length of his stay is unknown, but he has been heard in the past on 80 through 10 meters using ZW, single sideband, and RTTY. QSL via the information found on QRZ.com. OE4AAC is reportedly on the air, stroke 3B9 from Rodriguez Island, and will be there through February 18th. Activity is holiday style on 40 through 10 meters using CW only. QSL via OE4AAC. F5MVB and F5AOW are planning to be active as 5V7MP and 5V7BJ, respectively, from Togo from March 23rd to the 31st. Operations will be on CW and single sideband. QSL via their home call signs, either direct or by the Bureau. G3XAQ will be on the air from Kampala, Uganda, as 5X1XA between February 25th and March 16th. Activity will be on CW only. QSL 5X1XA via G3SWH. GM4YXI and GM3YOJ will be operational as A35X and A35V, respectively, from Tonga Tapu Island, April 4th to the 18th. Activity will be on 160 through 10 meters using CW and single sideband and some RTTY. QSL both A35V and A35X via N3SL. Lastly, M5RIC will be active stroke 5B from Cyprus between July 22nd and the 29th. His operation will include the RSGB Islands on the Air contest, slated for July 26th and 27th, using the call sign C4I. Outside the contest, look for him on single sideband and RTTY. QSL via M0OXO. A visual beacon is once again shining from a special place in the United Kingdom, and it's speaking in Morse code. Amateur Radio Newsline Cheryl Lasek, K9BIK, tells us the story.
A blinking lamp, spelling out the name Bristol in Morse code, is flashing once again from the United Kingdom's 105-foot-tall Cabot Tower, this marking the full refurbishment of the historic monument. The site's old Morse transmitter was switched off in 2001, after developing a major problem that required major repair. It was removed when the tower was closed to the public 6 years later, following the discovery of cracks in its structure. The tower was reopened in 2011, following a massive restoration. The finishing touch will be added when the transmitter is reinstalled. Originally, it flashed out the word Bristol from dusk until dawn. The text was later changed to read Cabot Tower, Brandon Hill, Bristol, but is currently just sending the name Bristol once again. For the Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Cheryl Lasek, K9BIK, in Zion, Illinois.
More about the history of the Cabot Tower can be found on Wikipedia.com. With thanks to Allen Labs, AMSAT, the ARRL, the CGC Communicator, CQ Magazine, the FCC, the Ohio Penn DX Bulletin, Radio Netherlands, RAIN, the RSGB, the Southgate News, Twit TV, and Australia's WIA News. That's all from the Amateur Radio Newsline. Our email address is newsline@arnewsline.org. More information is available at Amateur Radio Newsline's only official website, located at www.arnewsline.org. You can also write us or support us at Amateur Radio Newsline, 28197 Robin Avenue, Santa Clarita, California, 91350. For now, with Bill Pasternak, WA6ITF, at the editor's desk, I'm Hal Rogers, K8CMD, saying 73, and we thank you for listening. Amateur Radio Newsline is copyright 2014, all rights reserved.